In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, testified publicly in front of the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday morning, a day after closed-door testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee. Here are the opening minutes of his testimony.
I am here under oath to correct the record, to answer the committee's questions truthfully, and to offer the American people what I know about President Trump. I recognize that some of you may doubt and attack me on my credibility. It is for this reason that I have incorporated into this opening statement documents that are irrefutable and demonstrate that the information you will hear is accurate and truthful. Never in a million years did I imagine, when I accepted a job in 2007 to work for Donald Trump, that he would one day run for the presidency, to launch a campaign on a platform of hate and intolerance, and actively win. I regret the day I said yes to Mr. Trump. I regret all the help and support I gave him along the way. I am ashamed of my own failings and publicly accepted responsibility for them by pleading guilty in the Southern District of New York. I am ashamed of my weakness and my misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in an effort to protect and promote him. I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist, he is a con man, and he is a cheat. He was a presidential candidate who knew that Roger Stone was talking with Julian Assange about a WikiLeaks drop on the Democratic National Committee emails. And I will explain each in a few moments. I am providing the committee today with several documents, and these include a copy of a check Mr. Trump wrote from his personal bank account after he became president to reimburse me for the hush money payments I made to cover up his affair with an adult film star and to prevent damage to his campaign.
That's an excerpt of Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen's opening remarks in front of the House Oversight Committee hearing on Wednesday. Cohen's testimony comes as Trump is in Vietnam for a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. In other news, the House on Tuesday voted to block Trump's national emergency declaration on border violence by a vote of 245 to 182. Among those who voted for the bill were 13 Republicans. The bill now moves to the Senate, where at least three Republicans are likely to join Democrats. During a press conference on Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell struggled to offer a legal justification for the president's emergency declaration and end run around Congress's spending authority. McConnell said, "We're in the process of weighing that. I haven't reached a total conclusion." He added, "You can't blame the president for trying to use whatever tool he thinks he has to address it." Meanwhile, in immigration news, the investigative outlet Axios reported on Tuesday that House Representative Ted Deutsch's office had released data showing thousands of accusations of sexual abuse of undocumented children in U.S. custody. The shocking report on so-called unaccompanied alien children, or UACs, said that allegations against staff members reported to the DOJ included everything from rumors of relationships with UACs to showing pornographic videos to minors, to forcibly touching minors' genitals. The data covers a four-year period of 2014 to 2018 and came from the Department of Health and Human Services at the request of the House Judiciary Committee. Representative Deutsch told Axios, "This behavior, it's despicable, it's disgusting, and this is just the start of questions that HHS is going to have to answer about how they handle these and what's happening in these facilities." Anonymous government officials have told the Washington Post that the federal government effectively shut down the Russia-based Internet Research Agency, or IRA, on Election Day last year. IRA is based in St. Petersburg and overseen by a close associate of Russian President Vladimir Putin. It has been documented to have flooded American social media with polarizing fake news stories, in an effort to influence the 2016 election outcome. On November 6, 2018, the U.S. took action that, quote, was part of the first offensive cyber campaign against Russia, designed to thwart attempts to interfere with a U.S. election. One of the Post's sources told the paper they basically took the IRA offline. They shut them down. Chicagoans will be getting their first black female mayor ever. A primary race on Tuesday to fill the seat vacated by Mayor Rahm Emanuel resulted in former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle being the top two vote-getters in a crowded field of 14 candidates. Both Lightfoot and Preckwinkle are African-American. Lightfoot is also openly gay. They will face each other in a runoff in April. The United Methodist Church decided on Tuesday that it would continue to oppose same-sex marriage, as well as openly gay clergy. At a meeting that was many years in the making, hundreds of international clergy from the church voted to preserve the archaic values despite pressure from the American faithful, especially to modernize the rules. According to the Washington Post, many American ministers in the United Methodist Church already perform same-sex marriages and approve of the ordination of LGBT people as clergy, although the Protestant Church's rules officially forbid these marriages and ordinations. And finally, in international news, tensions between India and Pakistan have hit a decades-long high. Indian fighter jets on Tuesday dropped bombs into Pakistani territory that India says was aimed at a terrorist training camp. The strike was in retaliation for a suicide bombing in the contested Indian state of Kashmir less than 2 weeks ago, during which 40 Indian paramilitary officers were killed. On Tuesday, India's Foreign Secretary Vijay Gokhale made the following remarks.
India has been repeatedly urging Pakistan to take action against the Jaish-e-Mohammed to prevent jihadis from being trained and armed inside Pakistan. Pakistan has taken no concrete action to dismantle the infrastructure of terrorism on its soil. Credible intelligence was received that the Jaish-e-Mohammed was attempting other suicide terror attacks in various parts of the country, and the Fidayeen jihadis were being trained for this purpose. In the face of imminent danger, a preemptive strike became absolutely necessary.
That's Indian Foreign Secretary Vijay Gokhale laying out India's justification for an airstrike on Pakistan. India and Pakistan have battled over Kashmir for decades, and the last time the two nations went to war over it was in 1999. This time, however, both South Asian states are armed with nuclear weapons, significantly raising the stakes for violence. In fact, Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan convened an emergency session of parliament and met with nuclear officials in his government in response to India's strike. And that does it for our headlines today.